Are you ready for the weekend yet? We have events, news, and a guest for you to enjoy this Lake Life weekend. Hello and welcome to another episode of Lake Life Weekend Podcast. My name is Dirk, I'm your host, and it is weekend 35 already approaching. It's Labor Day weekend coming up, and traditionally season ending for lake life in the water, on the water. Well, that's not right. On the water happens in the winter, and I'm actually really happy about lake life happening year round. I'm a permanent resident in the area, and this fall season is always, crowned with hunting, I should say. And I like hunting. I used to go bird hunting. I want to try it again this season a little bit more. And with fall and hunting coming up, I thought we interview some experts about hunting life. And I have with me later here in the interview part, Mike Brown and Mike Summers from JCR Land Company, speaking about owning properties and some tricks, trail cams, food plots, and all those details, how to prepare for a good hunting season. So I'm glad to have them here later. Thank you very much for tuning in as every week. We have daily updates on our website, lakelifeweekend.com. I appreciate you checking that out regularly. We have still some events happening also this weekend. Check those out. And email us anytime at lakelifeweekend.com. hello@lakelifeweekend.com. You can give us your feedback, ideas. And we're also working on another publication. We have our fall magazine coming very soon. It will be on the shelves later this month of September. So yeah, thank you much for tuning in. I don't want to keep this any longer, to our interview for hunting in Lakes Country. Enjoy and have a wonderful weekend ahead. Welcome to our interview part. I'm here with Mike Brown and Mike Summers of JCR Land Company, and we will talk hunting. Hunting season is coming up. Hi, Mike. Hi, Mike.
Hi, Dirk.
Hi, Dirk.
Hi. Thank you for coming out. I know you're excited for the upcoming season. We spoke just last week a little bit about that. And before we dive into Ottertail County hunting, Becker County hunting, species maybe, trail cams, and all those things that I don't know a lot about, but you do, introduce yourself just briefly when your hunting passion started, a little bit about your background, and then I will ask you some more questions. Yeah, Mike Brown, you go ahead.
All right. Well, yeah, my name is Mike Brown. I've been with Jack Shivers for about 2 years now. I guess I grew up probably... starting when I was 12, 13 years old, I started going out waterfowl hunting with my dad and my family, and I kind of got the bug. I got the passion. That kind of progressed into looking into more of the archery hunting and the deer hunting, the big game hunting. I got into that. I just fell in love with it. I felt the passion and. It's just nothing like sitting in the woods in the morning when the sun's coming up and the woods are coming alive, and I got addicted to it. And from there I went on to wanted to make my career into working in the outdoor field. So I actually have a degree in wildlife and fishery science from South Dakota State in Brookings. And I worked a number of years with the Game and Fish and Parks in South Dakota and the Fish and Wildlife Service in South Dakota. And then one thing kind of led to another, and here we are. We're in real estate and selling hunting land. So it's been a good transition.
And you do own property for quite a while, and you started in...
Actually, I think a lot of hunters probably have the dream of owning their own hunting property. I happened to be just driving down the road one day going out hunting, and I seen a for sale sign on a piece of property, and I thought, well, what the heck, I'm just going to call the realtor and kind of get the details about it a little bit. And one thing led to another, and thanks to my gracious wife, we made it all happen. And I bought a little 35-acre chunk in southern Clay County and had that for a number of years. We kind of developed the property, really set it up nicely for hunting. And we shot some nice bucks out of there and shot a lot of pheasants and waterfowl. And yeah, one thing progressed to another. My family grew and my kids started hunting, which is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
And the 35 acres got to be a little small, so we ended up finding a piece of property in Otter Tail County that was a little larger, 80 acres. So we ended up, kind of upgrading a little bit. So and now we're getting that one all developed and set up for hunting as well. So.
Yeah, let's talk about trails and details in a little bit, how to improve a piece of hunting land. Mike Summers, give us your background briefly.
Yeah, Mike Summers, JCR Land Company. I also, like Mike, started hunting about 12, 13 years old with my family, and definitely enjoyed the outdoors with them and bonding time with the family. And I've grown over the years to hunt with my own family now and kids, and we sure enjoy that spending time together in the outdoors, whether it's hunting or fishing. We do a lot of traveling for hunting and fishing locally. We've been to Africa or Alaska, Canada, so we've had the privilege of going to many places. I've hunted a lot of different species, but I definitely come back to Otter Tail County and Becker County for deer hunting. It's definitely my passion is deer hunting. So,
yeah, there is this thing. Everybody is this whitetail. It's like just, I don't know a lot about it. Before we dive into that and why this animal is so great to hunt, I guess, or difficult to hunt, probably. If I wanted to, my dream is also to have a hunting property. Is it possible for me to grow into that, you think? You started with 35 acres. How many acres do you own?
I own 50, and then I rent a couple other places, and I've had friends and family that would let me hunt there, so I think we have about 1,500 acres to hunt, so we're pretty privileged to what we have to hunt. And there's a lot of great public land in Otter Tail County and Becker County to hunt as well. So.
Yeah, so preparing for the season, we have September coming up, and is bow hunting starting soon?
September 15th.
Is bow hunting season for
deer?
Deer, yep, already.
And bear hunting starts September 1st.
Oh, that is like just around the corner.
Yes.
And well, my dad visited once, and he's really scared of bear. Are there a lot of bear in the area?
There is a fairly good population. Further north is definitely better for the bear, but there is bear right around the Detroit Lakes Burgess area. But you get north up by 113, up by Manoman County, and that area is definitely a lot more bear.
Okay, so what are your tips and tricks? How do I prepare for the hunting season? Like, do you go on the archery course and or like practice course or whatever, target shooting? What would you do?
Well, I think we kind of both make it a year-round sport. You know, summertime, you're kind of getting, like you said, prepared for the season. You're out shooting your bows, getting everything tuned in to where it needs to be. And it's also a great time to run trail cameras and kind of take an inventory of the deer that you have on your property. You know, as you progress into September, hunting season starts. And, your fall is kind of fall is the time when you're in the woods. So that's the time you want to get out there. And then spring, I like doing a lot of my scouting in the springtime. Uh-huh. You're not disturbing the deer like you typically would be in the fall when you're trying to hunt them. And after the snow goes off, I mean, you can see a lot of the deer trails going through the woods and going out to their food source. You can find rubs and scrapes just like they were, you know, in October and November. And you're not really going to affect the deer as much as you would if you're out scouting, you know, during the hunting season. So, yeah, we really, I think, have kind of made it a year-round sport. So,
yeah, that sounds interesting. So, one thing I would like to ask, if like a 30 to 40 acre piece is actually sufficient to get me started?
And, absolutely. And
yep. So, of woods, of shelter, like what would I do? So, if it's year-round, I clean it out, I make it, like, what do I do? I buy 40 acres of, let's say, woods.
I think 40 acres of woods is a great starting spot. If you can clear a couple of little food plots in that 40 acres to make it inviting for the deer to have something to eat there. Also, it's nice to have cover for the deer if there's a spot for them to bed. So there's definitely a lot of different things you can do to keep the deer on that 40 acres. And the biggest thing for me is, how do you approach that when it's hunting season? How do you approach your 40 acres and don't go walking around your 40 acres and scare everything out? You know, make sure you have a nice path into your stand and a nice exit out of your stand.
Ah, okay. So approach, you mean, where do I come to my hunting spot? So that's actually a key component, yeah?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, I think it is. You don't want to be, if you're going out, 5 o'clock in the morning out to your deer stand, you don't want to be walking across an area that you have planted in the food plots, bumping the deer off there. So you want to kind of identify the best route to get into your stand without spooking the deer, as minimally as possible.
So I'm a visual person. So like if I had like, let's say a square of 40 acres or whatever, like a shaped square, then I kind of map it out like a landscape, yeah?
So I
kind of say, hey, that's where I park, that's where I go, that's where I kind of build something, clear it out. So you really look at it from an eagle's perspective, bird's eye?
Yes.
And yep. Then you
I think Google Earth and some of the other aerial photos that a guy can look at, you can really zoom into the property and get some really nice ideas of the terrain, the landscape, you know, the topography of the property, and you can kind of use that into your, factor that into your entrance and exit of the property, so.
Yeah, so there's a lot of strategy to hunting your own land, yeah? It's not just, I always think of it very romantic, yeah? I'm going there with grandpa or dad, and then I'll just try to shoot a deer, yeah? So there's a lot of strategy to it.
Absolutely, yep. I think the wind is probably one of the biggest things for me when I'm out hunting. To smart that buck, his smell is number one. You need to make sure he doesn't smell you, so the wind is the biggest factor for me when I go deer hunting.
Okay.
Yeah, and then I think to go with that, you know, once you're kind of setting your property up, if you got your food plots and your trail system is established, you know kind of where the deer are going to be bedding on the property, you know, through scouting and stuff like that in the springtime, and use that to your advantage, and you can set up your stands for the different wind directions.
Yeah, I never really approached it that way, but it does make total sense. I really think that technology, like you said, Google Earth, and isn't it like, are we like hunting 2.0, yeah? So we are a little bit advanced than Grandpa was, yeah? And we really, so how are all the hunting guys, are they all equipped like that? Are they approaching it the same way, you think? It's like...
Well, I think a lot of the more the diehard, the
serious,
dedicated
hunter, yep.
Hunters that are out there, and that, you know, they want to, everybody dreams of shooting a trophy buck,
mm-hmm.
You know, and there's some guys that get it done frequently, you know, they might shoot a nice buck every year, and you know, I mean, and that's, if you don't want to shoot a trophy buck, if you want to shoot a doe or a young buck, that's completely up to you too, but I think a lot of hunters' mindsets have changed over the years, and people want to shoot those trophy bucks. That's mm-hmm. what they're looking for.
Yeah, and definitely with the use of all the cameras, so many people are using cameras nowadays, they know what's on the property, so people get a little more excited knowing that, hey, there's a big 10-point buck out here, you know, so I'm going to wait a little longer to see if I can't get that 10-pointer.
Interesting. Is it also like this, every year there's a new chance? Like, because you cannot really influence the animals that arrive, right? I mean, like if you have 40 or 80 or 160 acres, they may have moved in a different direction? Does that happen?
Oh, yeah.
They may,
but
a lot of times they'll stay in that same area. So if you pass on a buck this year, mm-hmm. hopefully he'll stay in that area for next year. That's
okay.
Happens mm-hmm. frequently, yeah.
And so if we don't have, like we do have whitetail, but like what else do we, don't have a big pheasant population in Ottertail and Becker, do we? It's more clay. What other species?
Actually, Ottertail's got a fair number of pheasants in it. Yeah,
they do,
depending
huh?
on where you're at. Yep. Yeah, Southern Ottertail has some really pretty good pheasant hunting, and of course Clay County is, and Wilkin County have been, yeah, this year probably are going to be better than they've been in many, many years.
Oh yeah, so the population
populations
went up?
Are really good. Yeah, the initial reports I've got from guys that have been out in the country, they're seeing large numbers of broods up on the road. So, it's pretty encouraging.
Yeah,
that is. Should be a great year for upland hunters.
And then is it grouse? I went grouse hunting once. That's also very popular here.
Yes, yep. You get north of the Detroit Lakes area, up in the refuge and stuff. It's definitely, their grouse numbers, I think, are up as well.
Yeah. What other species? Like, does anybody hunt fox or something like that? We hunt that in Germany.
Yeah, there are quite a few predator hunters, but that probably doesn't really get started maybe until January.
Okay.
End of December, early January is when a lot of the predator hunters will get out and start chasing the fox and coyote.
Really?
Right.
Yeah, I don't hear that ever really, fox hunting. And I don't hear rabbit. Like, we hunt rabbit too. But they're so small, like, I'm not sure why.
That's a good way to get youth involved in hunting, is to take them out and go on a small game hunt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it be squirrels or rabbits. Yeah, you're walking through the woods, and game is usually pretty prevalent, so
mm-hmm.
there's a good opportunity that you're going to at least see some.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's a good way to get the kids out and introduce them to hunting.
So if I'm owning property and it's a year-round activity, you also mentioned clearing trails and things. What do you do to your woods? Like, you have to maintain it, yeah?
I do, yeah. I know Mike does as well, but yeah, we're out there several times throughout the summer, clearing brush and clearing trees and doing what we need to do to get into our stand quietly and without bumping deer. And once you're in your stand, you got to be able to see too. So we do clear some shooting lanes, so you have an opportunity to take that deer when he comes through.
Okay, so but I thought also it was kind of for the movement for the deer. So you actually kind of like make roadways or something that they travel through it, or can it be too thick? I really don't know.
No, I don't think it can be too thick. I think the deer they like the cover.
Sure.
But you can see there, like Mike said, you know, make sure you have the shooting lanes so you can see where they're traveling. Make sure you can get to them.
So. Yeah. So it's really more for the hunter's success.
Right.
Okay. And a food plot is, I always think of a little hay stand or something. I don't know. But is that like planted seed?
Planted seed of some sort. And yeah, a lot of times, even if it's an acre, whether it's corn or beans or some clover of some sort.
So something, but isn't that a lot of work? Do I need to bring a tiller in and whatnot? Or is that fairly easy? Like, is it a little rough?
Yeah, it can be a lot of work. But, you know, some guys can do it with just, you know, go in and clear a small area. You know, it can be 100 yards wide and 100 yards long. It can be just a small little plot, and you can go in and rake it, and as long as you get some of that dirt exposed, get some of the debris off the ground. Yeah, there's products that you can, they're called just throw and grow. Just throw them on the ground, and as long as I got seed to soil contact and a couple of shots of rain throughout the fall.
So clover, like some, was it alfalfa and all those things too?
Yeah, I don't know if guys particularly plant alfalfa for a food plot. It's probably more the clover and the brassicas, and corn and soybeans are probably the most popular blends around here.
Yeah. What else do you do to prepare? Do you go on the shooting range, or do you have a private shooting range?
I shoot throughout the summer, and my family does as well, preparing especially for the bow season. When you get that opportunity, you don't want to miss. So for us, we spend a lot of time shooting our bows, getting ready for the season.
And rifle shooting?
Yep, same thing. We're members of the Rod and Gun Club in my hometown, and the family gets out there and we shoot our rifles as well. So make sure everything's dialed in and make sure my kids are comfortable with handling the rifle. So there's kind of a safety aspect that goes with it as well.
Absolutely. Safety first, that's for sure. Do you usually hunt by yourself in small, like with a family in the stand, just small groups, right? Or do you also do the... In Germany, we do it when you push the deer and you walk. But we don't do that here.
It varies. We do sometimes. I prefer to sit in the stand and wait for the deer. I feel I get a better shot and have a better opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really hard if you're walking through the woods and you jump a deer to get an ethical shot at him when he's running away from you.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think a lot of guys have probably gotten away from doing the deer drives like they used to. We used to do a lot of deer drives when I was growing up as a kid.
Oh, you see?
Most guys, I think, do a lot of stand hunting now. Right.
We don't want to kick those deer off our property. If you do a deer drive, you're chasing them.
Yes.
So we want to keep them there.
Yeah, no, it makes total sense. I'm just comparing to what the little knowledge that I have. Although my sister is actually a hunter in Austria, and there's quite a bit of education in Europe that you need to pass before you get your hunter's license, and very different hunting culture, I should say. It's not that we don't have hunting, it's just not so popular maybe, or accessible. It's a lot of work actually. Here it's definitely a tradition. I think, well, I don't know how many, 80% of the people hunt. Do you know how many guys in Minnesota hunt?
I don't know that number. I know for our area here, I mean, it's pretty popular. You know, I guess some of the bigger cities, obviously, maybe not quite so much. But, right. You know, our family grew up hunting. My kids grew up hunting. We all enjoy it. It's one of our favorite pastimes together.
Yeah. What else do you then, is there a trick, once you get a deer, I always think like, oh my God, now I have to carry it somewhere or bring it. And then you have to cut it open right away. Do you learn that as a child? Like, I'm a little bit like, probably not me either. So is
that
a
trick? Actually have my kids have both shot their first deers and they have both gutted them. So yeah, it's just kind of a learning process. Takes a little time, but once you do a couple there, they get a lot easier.
Yeah.
I'm amazed how eager the kids are to actually get in there.
Yeah, they actually want to learn.
They want to get in there, and they want to get that first deer. So yeah.
Really?
Yeah. That's just kind of part of the whole hunting process,
right.
I think, is from doing the scouting to taking the deer to doing the gutting to when you get the deer on the table. So
yeah, I think it's actually a very good educational experience to understand where food is coming from. It's not just from the supermarket, but it's a different dialogue. But I agree. So do you usually do it on site, or do you bring the deer home and gut in the garage or something?
Usually we field dress the animal there, and then we bring it home and prepare it then and butcher at home the rest of it, or bring it to the locker plant. Yep.
Yeah, there's a lot of places around that help you with that, right? You just deliver it?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. There's a locker plant. Usually every town has got a locker plant. That if you want them to butcher your deer, they sure will, yeah.
Yeah. They gut it too?
You want to gut the deer right away.
Right
so
away?
We always gut them out in the field. And yeah.
Yeah, you want to make sure and get that animal cooled off so none of the meat spoils.
Yep.
Okay, that can happen fairly quickly?
You have time, but it's definitely nice to do it right away.
Okay. Yeah, you see, I really don't know. What is the wild boar? Do you know what I'm... Is it a pig? We don't have those up here, do we?
No, and I've never been boar hunting.
Okay, that happens in Texas or something, right?
Yeah, I think they're more...
States.
Yeah, down south.
Yeah, we have those in Europe all over. And it's actually good meat. You can eat them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you have favorite recipes for your deer? Like, do you do steaks? What do you do with the deer?
My family loves, it's called bulgogi. Mm-hmm. It's a different marinade that we put our steaks in, and it's probably my family's favorite way to cook it. So we learned it when I was in Korea. It's a recipe we got from Korea, and it's a great marinade.
And it's a steak style?
Correct.
Okay. Not just grounded or
no.
Sausage?
We do a lot of sausage as well, and jerky and sticks, of course. Our family loves all that stuff, so we do a little bit of everything, so.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my favorites and my family's favorites now is we have venison bacon made from one of my local processors. And like this time of year, BLTs, we can eat almost every night with the venison bacon.
Interesting. I never had that. Yeah, that is good. What else do you think one should think of? Trying to... buy land or what is the homework that they have to do?
Well, the nice thing is Mike and I are willing to go out with anybody. You know, we have a lot of parcels for sale, you know, whether it's at 40 acres or 140 acres, and you know, whether it's up north of Detroit Lakes, Benoman or Thief River or Frazee, Detroit Lakes, Virgus area, and just get a hold of us and we'll bring you out and show you some different properties that hopefully will work for you. And
are the banks more open to finance such items? Because I remember they want 40% down or sometimes even 50% down. Is it accessible to an average consumer? Do we need a lot of money down? Is it like 20%? Do you know?
Probably typical is about 20%, depending on your financial institution, I guess. But yeah, and there's a number of ways to work around that too. I mean, if you own a home, you might have some equity build up in your home, or you could do a refinance, something like that, if you're a little short on the down payment. And another option would be a contract for deed if you got a seller that would do basically seller financing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great way to get somebody into some property as well. So there are a number of options that we can work with the buyers on and identify.
Do you experience a lot of sellers being willing to sell contract for deed?
There is a fair amount, you know.
Yeah.
So, and the nice thing, like say with Mike and I, you know, we have the cameras out on most of the properties that we have listed right now. We have cameras on, so you'll know what's out there and or have a good idea what's on the property. So,
Yeah, that is definitely interesting, and that's a good way to show how good the property is. Yeah. So you serve all over from North Becker, Menominee counties through Ottertail, Clay. You work in all those areas.
Yes, and this area is known for large bucks. So if you're a whitetail hunter, this is the area, this Becker County, Ottertail County. I mean, it's a great area for deer hunting, and the numbers are up. You know, they're bonus tags this year. So,
oh, so there's more. Oh, really, the population is growing.
Yes. Yep. I know in the Fraser area, you can shoot three deer down the Verse area. It's a two deer limit. So definitely good populations and good buck numbers. Mike and I have some tremendous bucks on camera already this year on properties that are for sale, and just amazing.
How many points? How big?
Well, there's quite a few of the properties that have, you know, a lot of 8s and 10 point bucks, you know, so
really?
that's definitely not uncommon. We have one that has a bigger buck than that even. So we haven't got a picture of him, but the homeowner says he's big. So,
okay. Right? What is the biggest buck that you shot in the wild?
I personally have shot a 13 pointer, is my biggest buck that I ever shot in the wild.
Okay, and 13, isn't it like 6 and 7 then, or what?
That's what this one was, yep.
Oh, okay. And what was your biggest buck?
Oh, mine was a 8x8, so 16 points.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
On your own property?
That was off my property in Ottertail County, yep.
Really? How long ago?
That was in 2015.
Just recently, in a way.
Yep.
That is a big buck.
Yep. That was a dandy.
Yeah? Yeah. You have that mounted?
I do, yep. Yeah, actually I have 5 or 6 deer, the full shoulder mounts off the properties that I've owned in the last several years. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
That is common. Yeah, I even have a deer mounted. It's a little bit more, it's borrowed, so I didn't shoot it, but I think it's kind of decorative. But do a lot of people mount their animals?
Oh, there's quite a few that people, you know, the taxidermist shops are always full, so.
Yeah, I see those. And is it affordable? Is it very expensive, you know?
It's probably average price is at $500 to $600 to do
for
a shoulder mount for a deer.
Okay. And I think you have a collection of mounts, don't you?
Yeah, I've been fortunate. I have probably about 30-some mounts from moose, bear, deer, elk, mountain lion, a little bit of everything.
A little museum.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you like to have water and a stream or stuff like this on the property? Is that, or like even like the, we always say marsh or lowlands, is that of an advantage, disadvantage? Like a mixed vegetation? And talk about that a little bit.
I would think it'd be definitely an advantage to having the different types of habitat. You know, the three things an animal needs to survive are food, water, and shelter. If you've got those three on your property, there's a good chance you're going to have critters running around there. Everything needs water. So having a water source, whether it be a creek or a slough or a pond,
mm-hmm.
or a lot of guys in some areas are building their own now.
Oh, really?
They'll dig a hole in the ground and put a liner in there, and so it does hold water back for the wildlife. So.
Oh, really? I did not know that. So, but something deeper than a swamp, yeah? And a swamp is just wet, right? That's not enough water. So how do you actually attract duck and things? Like if you have a little pond, like do you have to put decoys out? And or is there any, do you have anything? I like duck hunting, I don't know.
Well, my family loves duck hunting as well. And yes, we put the decoys out. We have a permanent blind in a spot that we put the decoys out and help attract the ducks in. But
yeah.
We do a lot of pond jumping, what you could call it, you know, where you know there's water, and we'll sneak up to the edge of it and see what's there too. So,
okay, on public land?
On public land, yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. Successfully?
Oh, yes, yep.
Yeah. Do you have a dog to retrieve then, or?
I don't have a dog. I just have a boy.
And he has to go swim? How do you get it out of the water?
Depends on where we're at, either with waders or maybe a boat. So.
Oh, okay. Do you duck hunt?
I used to. I kind of gotten out of it a little bit in the last several years, but I used to do pretty much exclusively waterfowl and pheasant hunting. So.
Okay, so you just came back to whitetail.
Yep.
Interesting, okay. Yeah, I think we heard a few interesting facts here. Anything I missed or you wanted to share? One secret for the upcoming hunting season? Anything?
Make sure you get the right piece of property.
Yeah.
Come and see Mike and I.
Yeah. Come and see us.
Yeah, okay.
We'll get you set up.
JCILand.com, I guess. People can find you. I'm sure we will be able to connect you with somebody. But thank you for coming. And I think you write a couple stories also, Mike.
Yeah, I do. I write articles for the Lake Life magazine that comes out 4 times a year, so...
Yeah, we will link to that, and I think that's a really interesting source too, and people will be able to connect to both of you. Well, thank you very much for coming. Hunter's luck coming up, and maybe see you out in the wild.
Thank you.
Sounds good. Thanks, Dirk.
Have a good weekend. Yeah, this was already our newest episode of the Lake Life Weekend podcast. We sure hope you enjoyed it. Tune in again next week with another great guest and updates. Always check out our website, lakelifeweekend.com. And if you have some comments, please feel free to email us at hello@lakelifeweekend.com. And you have a wonderful weekend ahead.